welcome back to the Game Junkies podcast, the podcast which brings you all the latest gaming news, releases, and content. I'm your host, Chris, and I'm here with my co-host, Jack.
Hey, hey, hey.
How has your week been, Jack? Anything to add?
It's just the same every week, and it's getting to me. Jeez, this is like a therapy session.
I know, I feel like it's...
Talk to me about your problems, Jack.
Going through the motions, you know, just the same old rinse and repeat, as they say.
Yeah, I think I might have the most uninteresting life, potentially, in this lockdown.
We do a podcast, right? So that's...
I mean, yeah, that's positive.
That's
it keeps
positive,
me going.
Isn't it?
How about you? What's been going on?
I mean, not much, really. The same with me. Just work. I know, I've been obviously playing Ghost of Tsushima, which we can talk about later. But yeah, I'm just waiting around for these next-gen consoles. That's all I'm doing. I'm just waiting for them.
It's just a waiting game, isn't it? Yeah.
So I guess let's kick off the news then. So this news section pretty much is going to be focused on the Ubisoft Forward event, which was last Sunday.
There was a lot.
There was a lot to take in. And yeah, we both watched it, and we're just going to go through it step by step and sort of talk about how we feel about it and what they showed. So the first bit that I want to talk about is the Assassin's Creed Valhalla gameplay. So obviously Ubisoft hosted their press conference last Sunday on July the 12th. We saw loads of games, which again, we'll go into detail a bit further on. But we did see obviously Assassin's Creed Valhalla gameplay, which I feel like we were all looking forward to, and I feel like that was anticipated a while back, considering meant to be in, you know, the Microsoft, well, not, I say meant to be, it was heavily teased that it was going to be in the in the Microsoft conference, so we were all a bit disappointed about that, but we finally got to see it, and unfortunately the leaked footage was the footage they did show.
I was hoping there would be like maybe a little bit extra,
which was a shame. So again, we did go over that last week in detail about the, you know, leaked footage, but in the gameplay we basically see the player take the role of Ivor, walking around the enormous world with various different environments, you know, snow, jungles, open land, castles, you know, everything you expect to see in a Viking type game. I'm not sure what year it is, mind. I couldn't tell you the year.
I don't know my Viking knowledge. I don't have that on hand, unfortunately, so I don't know the years.
But the main thing we saw, obviously, was the player Ivor sort of handle a raid. So we saw them approach a castle with their fellow Vikings, their fellow Viking teams, storm a castle. And towards the end, obviously, like the leader of the castle is almost like a boss fight, I want to say.
I think it is a boss fight.
Yeah, and when you kill the boss, you liberate the castle, which is essentially what most Assassin's Creed games and Ubisoft games are like now. You know, you just go to sort of liberate the area and sort of take control of the area. You sort of liberate the various, sections. But we went into it with detail. So I'm not going to repeat myself from what we saw last week, or what we said about last week, because it was pretty much exactly the same. But we obviously saw it from Ubisoft's perspective now, so we actually saw it from not a leaked footage, we actually saw it from what we were meant to see it. So what did you think about it? How did you find it?
I mean, seeing it in the graphics it was intended for helped, I think. I think my favourite part, I didn't really take notice of it when seeing the leaked footage, was the rap battle they had. Some form of ancient Viking rap battle.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know. Did you know that, Chris? That was their kind of pastime?
I did, yeah. I listened to them on Spotify, Viking rap
battles.
Oh,
so it's what you're expecting them?
I expected them. But yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, I guess you could say a side quest. But they have, like, Ubisoft have announced that they're not really doing side quests per se.
Okay.
So they're more doing stuff that you'll come across on your adventure. It just sounds like a longer way of saying side quest, what they've said.
It sounds like a side quest.
Yeah,
exactly.
But they basically said that the sort of side quest will be a bit more integrated with the world and what you do. So I guess
you'll stumble across them rather than you know where to find.
Go looking from.
Yeah. So if you're just on your way to doing any task you want, you might stumble across someone who might want your help, I suppose.
Yeah. But I think...
I quite like that approach.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I mean, I think the game looks fantastic. You know, it's what I expected. It's, you know, pretty much what we saw in, you know, Origins and Odyssey, you know, in terms of gameplay and fighting. Although I will say... It does look awesome to just run around with two shields and just... That just looks so
fun. That was great. I love that so much. I mean, that's what I'm planning. That'll be my approach, I think.
Yeah.
Just bashing people with two shields. It's something they would do.
Yeah, definitely. And the dual wield with axes looks so fun as well. You know, I feel like it's a game you feel like a Viking. And one thing I was concerned about was I don't really see how a Viking could be an assassin. Because I feel like they're just berserkers, aren't they? You know, they're meant to
exactly,
just be
exactly, yeah.
With
but
us.
They
touched on
dived
that, didn't
into
they?
That a little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
because make it a bit more believable.
I imagine Vikings back in the day did, you know, use forms of stealth. They're going to do everything, aren't they? They probably just don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Brush up on it because it's not as fun. I guess I don't know, but I trust.
What's
them,
your
I feel
opinion
like.
on boss fights like this?
I love them. I love boss fights. I think it. I just always have. I think since the Dark Souls days, I've just loved boss fights purely because if I come across a boss I can't beat, and even though I hate it and I rage and I break like a million controllers, it's not the point. Like, I love to overcome that boss. You know, I like to have a more challenging enemy than just a normal NPC.
Well, what kind of bosses did you have in the older... Not the older, like the last couple of games. Do you have any, what kind of
one I can
bosses
sort of,
would you take on?
I mean, one I can sort of remember clearly was Medusa, was one of them.
Okay, interesting.
And Minotaur, you had a Minotaur in the Odyssey one. So, you know, sort of nice mythical creatures. Mm. Which again, they look like they're going down that sort of route with this one. There was a section, I don't know if you noticed it, but there was some sort of magic and stuff going on.
Yeah,
How do you feel about
they're
that?
They're not going down the realistic route. They're definitely taking on the mythology of the era they're getting inspired from.
And I love that, personally.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, yeah. The one thing I wasn't too fussed on was the boss fight they showed. So it was a boss fight, but it was a guy. It was just a regular guy. So like, I don't understand why
he's a boss.
He has such a huge health bar. It doesn't like that kind of takes me out of it a little bit because he's just a dude.
Yeah, I mean,
he can't physically have such a huge health bar.
I mean, it makes sense what he's saying, but I kind of get it though. You have to have, I kind of disagree in that sense because I feel like you have to have one standout from the crowd. You have to have the leader stand out. And,
but I was thinking maybe they just make him more challenging to fight.
Yeah, but he's not going to be a boss if he's. You know,
yeah, but
you
know,
you know what I'm saying?
He'll be more challenging in the sense that he'll use more moves, he'll be more maneuverable, he'll have heavier strikes. You know, you'll need to be on your toes, you know,
but
because
he does
you'll
have
be
that.
An even fight.
I guess that's what I'm confused about.
Yeah, but he has that plus having a huge health bar.
But imagine this, right? You go.
I think it'd be more interesting. It'd be like a Dark Souls kind of combat.
Yeah, but again, Dark Souls bosses have big health bars compared to.
Yeah, but
NPC.
They're also giant monsters.
Not all of them. Some of them are humans.
Well, most of them. Well, most of them have some form of like weird power of sorts.
So imagine this, right? You storm the castle. Right? I'm going to put you in a scenario. You storm the castle.
I'm a huge buff Viking. Yeah,
you come across this boss, and you're like, oh, this boss is going to be really hard. And you kill him in the exact same in two hits that you do a normal NPC. Imagine that.
No, but that's
exactly.
That's
it's not as good.
It wouldn't
though,
be like
it?
That though, because he would be more strategic in his approach to fighting you. You'd have to really be on your toes compared to a standard NPC.
But again, you
enemy.
Could just...
I feel like it would be more interesting if you were definitely just like a clone of each other.
Mm.
So you both had the same arsenal. You both had the same kind of move set, and you really had to think about what you could do because he could take you down just as easily. And so you could take him down.
Yeah, but you again, you're going down the more realistic approach. We got to
exactly.
remember, this is a game.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, true. Know. But like, with just like a human character, surely going with slightly more realism would be more engaging.
I mean, maybe he's injected himself with some magic or something.
Injected himself?
I don't know, with some steroids for back in the Viking days. Or I don't know,
that's
something.
The equivalent.
Or, like, the thing is, that's only one boss we've seen. Like that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like you said, you mentioned about the... you know, there's some form of magic in this world, and you'll have bosses that wield that kind of ability. So that'll be interesting to see.
I mean, it's
a shame we couldn't see more of that. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what I did really like the look of is the choices section. So you could choose to kill
or spare them,
or just spare them. And I like that because it feels like it's your own game.
Yeah, you're more invested because I'm hoping that your actions will have consequences.
Yeah,
whether they be good or bad.
But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I personally can't wait. It's coming out pretty much the same time as the next gen, I feel like, is going to come out. It's like the 17th of November, I think they announced the release date. And I feel like that's going to be the next gen sort of date, I think.
Is there anything in the game that is there anything that you want that they haven't shown yet?
I don't think they showed much about their home, like the home base settlement you have. Like I said, I touched on it last week saying that I would love to have that as a big feature and they actually work and put time into it. I like to go back and forth on my sort of settlement and feel like I can put money or gold into it and feel like I'm building it up myself. You know, that's what I would like to see. What about you?
I just want... I just want to be able to fully level up my rapping ability. I'm hoping there's like a little leveling up system where you can really just absolutely own your opponent in a rap,
like Skyrim, but with the skill trees, you just have a rap section.
You just have a rap run. I think that would just be a laugh. I mean, I remember, you know, I mean, they're not taking everything seriously. I remember they have like, I think there was like one of the people working there, they always include like a cat.
Yeah.
I think it was like in one of the boats and it helps you in some way.
I don't know how.
I don't know how.
I have no idea. Maybe it's a witch incarnated as a cat.
That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, so clearly they have some level of silliness. So if they include that, I think that would be great. I would love to be able to have that and just do that in the world.
Yeah.
Just be a rap god instead of a Viking that kills people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. So do you want to take the next game?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So this comes straight from IGN. Far Cry 6 has been officially revealed for February 18th, 2021 release date. And it's coming to Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PlayStation 5,
mouthful,
PlayStation 4, Stadia, and PC via Epic Games Store and Ubisoft Store. Free upgrades will be available on PS5 for PlayStation 4 owners and Xbox Series X for Xbox One owners.
That's standard, oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's something I've come to expect now with next gen, that you'll be able to do cross platforms and all that stuff. So after a leak this week, Ubisoft showed off the game's intro video and a cutscene introducing us to Anton Castillo, played by Breaking Bad's Giancarlo Esposito and his son Diego, who he's preparing for leadership of a totalitarian island state of Yara. I'm very proud that I was able to...
Well done, you didn't do one spell. Like, that was fantastic.
Players will take on the role of Danny Rojas, who can be played as either male or female, which is a Yaran guerrilla revolutionary. So how did you feel when you watched the full release video?
It looked awesome. I think it looked fantastic. I mean, he looks like a dictator. You know, he looks like a terrifying sort of character. I just feel like it's going to be fantastic. I mean, you see him sort of try and mentor his son in this one. I say mentor. I mean, he gives him a grenade and says, look, if you let go of that,
we're
all dead.
Please.
And I don't know, he just looks like the character who doesn't take any nonsense, really, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah, you don't want to mess with this guy.
I, for one, like I said, I think I said this last week, I think he could personally overtake Vaas as the sort of favourite Far Cry villain. Because, you know, he's a great villain in Breaking Bad and various different films or you know, TV series he's been in. So I think he will take this seriously. And, you know, I just hope that we actually do see a lot of this character. I hope it's not, you know...
Yeah, well, I'm hoping they don't go down the trend, like the route of only introducing the villain, you know, in the beginning or the ending of the game.
Yeah.
I hope there's various interactions with him. You know, Far Cry 3 did it with Vaas and the other villains. You had multiple interactions with him.
But I think in this one, it makes a lot more sense. Like, it feels more realistic because you are... a revolution. You can see in the trailer that there's
you are the revolution.
No, but you know what I mean. Like
you are the revolution.
You are the revolution. You're fighting back against an evil dictator, and it's more realistic because you know the other games, like in America, like the one in Far Cry 5. I think we discussed this before. It's not as realistic as you know just a state going. It's unrealistic in it.
It's unrealistic for a first world country. You would expect the government to have a bit more involvement, perhaps, with that kind of state.
So, and you know, it makes sense that on this one you'll have, you know, people to recruit and friends who want to fight back and, you know, various stuff like that. It makes more sense, this one, and personally I'm looking forward to it. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. How do you feel about... do you think there'll be much connection between your like the protagonist and the main villain? Do you think there'll be a personal connection?
I hope it's not you're just another one of the, you know, grunts in the army and he's just like, I don't care. I hope there's like a personal sort of connection. Like, I don't know if you'll maybe be a leader of the revolution or the guerrilla.
Yeah.
Guerrilla.
Of the guerrilla.
Guerrilla. I don't know. Like I said, I really hope they don't bottle this and you know mess it up, so to say.
Yeah.
With the villain.
Yeah. I was okay with 5, but it just didn't hit me the same way as the previous iterations of the Far Cry series hit. So I'm hoping they take a step in the right direction. I think they are. Mm. I think they've chosen a good actor for this role. He does a very good job in the shows and movies he's in. Very menacing character. I mean, his speech was very good. You know, clearly drove fear into his son's eyes. It shows that he wasn't playing around, giving him a grenade, trusting him to hold on to it.
Fun factory as well, which I found out the other day: the guy who plays the son, or the boy who plays the son, is the main guy in the Disney film Coco. He plays the boy in Coco.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, really?
I found that out the other day as well. I was like, oh, fair play. They've actually hired quite a big cast for this then so far.
Yeah, it seems to be very big budget.
And you know,
I'm
like
curious
like,
who they'll have for the main character.
Yeah, and I feel like they wouldn't put this much money into the villains to not show them that much. You know,
I'm hoping we get plenty of interactions with the main character and the villains. I didn't know that was Coco. Okay,
yeah,
that's pretty
cool.
Any other leaks in terms of like potential actors within the
no actors?
The cast?
But have you seen the screenshots they released?
No.
Yeah, they released about 4 screenshots, mainly of the world, and then one where you're actually in the first person view, and it looks gorgeous.
Okay, I need to see.
You need to see them.
I'm gonna look at it as soon as we're done with this. I need to have a look.
It looks gorgeous. It looks like the world they presented in the trailer. Really.
Okay.
You know,
well, for the viewers at home, how could you describe the images?
Oh, I'm trying to think of them. There's one where you were basically, like I said, in the first person point of view. I want to try and get them up now and look at them specifically. But there was one where you were, you know, in the first person point of view, and it showed, you know, the gun he was holding. It kind of looked like a gun for that. I don't know the best way to do it.
He showed the gun he was holding. It looked like a gun.
So I'm looking at it right now. Okay, so it looks like a gun that's been put together, kind of like a gun from Metro. You'd see from.
Oh, so
like
it's just
Metro
put
games.
Together like kind of scraps and.
Is
that what you mean?
Yeah, so it looks like it's just been put together from scraps.
Okay.
There's a horse. So you see a picture of the horse in the view. There's a little shack, like a revolution shack, at the bottom of the hill. And there are planes going past spraying gas.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
It looks really cool. It looks gorgeous. Mm. But that's the only one I can see at the moment. But they, you know, released some of the sort of world and how it looks. But, it looks really good. It looks really nice. Really nice.
Oh, yeah, I'm really hyped for this. So, 18th or February next year. That's a bit of time to wait.
So I got a question for you. Do you think they will release it for current gen? I don't think they will, personally.
I think it's too far in.
Yeah, I think the window will be gone. You know,
There might be... I don't know, because if they've only made it for the requirements for the next gen, then there's no way they're going to be able to release... Well, I mean, is there a potential opportunity for them to make a watered-down version for older gen?
I mean, they could do. It really depends. It depends on if Microsoft and Xbox want to carry on with current gen, which, again, is another news story later, which we'll talk about, what the Microsoft plans are anyway for the current gen. So personally, based on how it's going, they really want to, you know, heavily promote the next gen. I don't think they will. I think they'll, you know, push it for next gen and keep it for next gen.
Yeah, it's a bit far in, isn't it? Because, when's next gen specifically launching?
Probably November. November. There's no specific dates yet, but...
So you got a few months into the new year.
I'm sick of seeing holiday 2020. Just give us the goddamn release dates for all these things. Games,
yeah, but does that make it better or worse though? Because when you say holiday, it could be the beginning of the holiday.
It won't. No, they know that. What they're doing. It'll be close to Christmas, so they can get them, you know, sales in.
They're gonna make so much.
Oh, it's gonna be insane.
Are you planning on getting one as soon as they release?
Yeah, I plan on getting the PlayStation 5. Yeah.
Okay.
There is actually another news story which we'll talk about after. Just kind of forgot to add in the notes, but that's fine. I sort of remember it from the top of my head.
Well, anyway. I can't wait to hear this. This is going to be great.
But yeah, anyway, sorry. We've got to just throw it all in either. So is there anything else you wanted to add about Far Cry? Or is it,
I think we've encaptured our thoughts. I mean, compared to last week, they only showed, you know, a snippet of a zoom in of the main villain. And now we've added more detail. We've added a bit more personality. We've added higher stakes, you know, showing the riots in the streets. Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Again, I feel like we'll see gameplay pretty soon. I think
I'm not sure when, but I can't wait to see that. That's gonna look great.
Yeah. So I guess the next game, which I think this was probably the biggest game they went in depth about in the whole conference, was Watch Dogs Legions. I feel like
they did go into quite a lot.
It was, yes. So again, this was from IGN, so there's a lot to take in here. So I'm just gonna go through it, and we'll just have a chat about it. So
can't wait.
Watch Dogs Legion. I was going to say Legions then. Watch Dogs Legion is an open-world action-adventure game that takes place in a fictional post-Brexit version of London. The city has been taken over by a private security group called Albion, who have used the Bloom Corporation's Central Operating System, or CTOS, to turn London into a surveillance state. It'll be up to you to recruit a group of operatives to join DedSec and regain control of the city. So that's just like the sort of background with, you know...
That's very bold.
It's very bold.
For them to choose a post-Brexit
scenario.
And I feel like not many people are going to be too happy about that.
I mean, this DedSec have been in it. I think they were in the first one. I can't remember. I didn't remember the first one. But DedSec. They were DedSec with a sort of rebellion. And they were the ones in the second one. They were your sort of team, you know? So it makes sense. So... Operatives in Watchdog Legions can be assigned to one of three classes. You've got the Enforcer, which specializes in guns and dealing damage. Unique equipment is the Sticky Mine. So you've got the Hacker, which specializes in remote control. The unique equipment is a Spider Drone, which I think looks really fun. Like, I love that one.
I saw that. It was pretty interesting.
And then the final one is the Infiltrator, which specializes in stealth and melee combat. Unique equipment is the AR camo. So of them three operative classes, which one do you think stands out most to you? Which one do you think you would like to play the most as?
Well, the thing I'm quite confused about, isn't the whole point of Watch Dogs is that everyone is a hacker, like you are a hacker. So like, isn't each role, surely you're hacking in each role?
Yeah, I guess. They just wanted to give a purpose to... playing as different characters, didn't they, really? Because obviously you can recruit anyone you want, like a random NPC. I guess they wanted to add a bit more personality to each of the characters, which makes sense.
I suppose so, yeah.
But I guess
for me, I just thought, like, you know, Watch Dogs, when you think of Watch Dogs, like, you're hacking.
But yeah, I
so
guess
I just assumed that like all the characters would have an opportunity to be able to hack. So I don't know why there's a specific hacker class exactly.
I mean, you know, with hacking, especially in, you know, even in today's world, there's specialties of, you know, different computers and stuff.
How do you know this, Chris?
Well, it's just the world, isn't it? There's you know, there's different types of, you know, computers out there, and I feel like with this world, especially in Watch Dogs, there's so many different types of computers and stuff you can hack. It makes sense that they're gonna, you know.
You sound like you have some insider knowledge.
Yeah, like I'm a part of DedSec, and I was keep it quiet. Yeah.
Keep it quiet.
Keep it quiet. Yeah, keep it quiet. As I said on the podcast, we'll cut this out.
I mean, if I had to choose one, I'm quite straightforward and quite cut and dry. So I'd probably choose Enforcer, just because it specializes in guns, so I'll just shoot a lot.
That's fair enough. I'd probably go hacker. I think hacker's probably my sort of what I'd go for. You know,
I would have liked to choose infiltrator, but I'm just rubbish at stealth, so I know I'd muck it up most of the time.
Yeah. So each class has special perks that can be unlocked at levels 5, 10, and 15. For example, hackers can unlock a perk called Attract that gives their spider bot the ability to distract nearby enemies. Before recruiting an operative, you can check your phone and see what kind of traits they have. Traits can be beneficial to your team, although some can come with potential risks. The trait Bare-Knuckly Boxer gives an operative 30-plus melee damage, but it also means they will never surrender if caught, putting them at a higher risk of being killed, arrested, or hospitalized. So I think what they've done with how you can just walk up to a random NPC and recruit them is incredible. Like, I think that's so
cool. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's pretty cool, yeah.
And it makes sense for them to do it in this sort of, you know, in the Watch Dogs universe, because you want to build up your DedSec, you know, revolution. It makes sense that you could do that.
Well, do you know how many you start off with?
I do not.
Is that something they discussed?
I don't think they did, no. But it's good that each, like, it's not just like if you go up to an NPC and you're like, well, this is just going to be exactly the same as the last one I recruited. It's good that they are going to be different from the last one. So they'll have their benefits and perks and, you know, downsides to it. I like that. I like how you can have, you know, you can't have all these good things without any bad things. I appreciate that because it makes you think a lot more. So you think, okay, you know, if I go for this guy, yeah, he's going to be, like they said, it's going to be great that he's, you know, got 30 plus melee damage, but he has a higher risk of permanently dying, if that makes sense. So he's, you know, which I like. I think it's really good. And I, like I said, I feel like it gives a bit
there
more.
There are stakes, unique. I suppose. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, unique is the word.
And I think it gives a lot more uniqueness to the game. So, like, my game, again, will be different to yours. But, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they showed off, obviously, the world. It's London. You know, it's very, I guess, it's not extremely futuristic like Cyberpunk.
Well,
but it
says post-Brexit, so it's relatively near in the future.
Yeah, but there's obviously technology that we don't have yet. Or if we do, we don't know about it.
Exactly, yeah.
But how do you, like, from what you... I mean, the gameplay didn't really show off anything new.
No.
It's what we've seen. So how do you feel about this game? Are you excited for it?
Yes and no. I don't know. I never really bothered with the first two Watch Dogs. I don't know. For some reason, when I saw them, I always... They just looked like a kind of GTA clone, but you can hack.
That's offensive. That's very...
I know.
That's very...
I'm sorry for all the Watch Dogs, the fan base out there. I'm sorry. But that was my view when I first thought about Watch Dogs. I think it's evolved... I guess it's evolved into its own kind of thing over the years. I guess this one might be a bit more interesting than the second one. Did you play any of the Watch Dogs?
I played the previous games. The thing is, the first one... The hype behind that was incredible. Like, everyone was like, this is going to be amazing. And I was one of them. I was like, this game looks incredible. And it just didn't live up to the hype. It just wasn't
No,
as
I heard
good
it died down pretty quick.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as what they said it was going to be. The second one, I played through and I loved the second one, but I feel like with the second one, the hype had already gone. So people were already disappointed in the first one.
So you didn't think it was like a hot franchise that
no,
people would
I
be like, wow, let's get that.
I mean, the thing is, when you start a new franchise, the first one has to be, you know, amazing, doesn't it? You know, if you want it to carry on, you have to have a, you know, a great first game. And I'm not saying it was a bad game, it just just didn't live up to the hype of what it could have been and what they sort of said it was. And again, the second one, they did improve a lot on what the first one was, and I enjoyed playing the second one, but I feel like, again, the hype just was gone and people had a little bit less faith.
Do you think the hype has returned at all?
I think so. I mean, again, people who played the second one really enjoyed it. I was one of them, you know, I loved it. So I am more prone to go, this one looks really good. I enjoyed the second one. It looks very
similar. So third time's the charm, Ben.
So third time's the charm. You know, I don't think it'll be a game I'd probably get day one, personally. It doesn't.
So it's not a game you'd pre-order?
I don't think so, no. I feel like it's a game I'd get around to playing, if that makes sense, you know? Personally, just because I just feel like, I don't know, it's just, it doesn't grab me that way, you know, this game.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you think you pre-order it?
I feel somewhat the same. I'll pick it up in time, potentially. You know, like you said, it was mainly due to the previous games not living up to the potential. I mean, like I said, you know, they've improved upon the years.
Yeah.
But you know, I might get it. Might get it for a laugh. Who knows?
Just, why not? In it, but
huge potential. It'll kill time.
So, I mean, that's sort of it for Watch Dogs. I mean, if you want to go check out the gameplay, you can. But it wasn't really anything new from what we saw. I mean, I think we saw the steps you get to recruit a new NPC.
So yeah,
you
that's right. Yeah.
Approach them and you sort of see how you do like a sort of mission for them. But yeah, I mean, it looks like Watch Dogs 2, personally. I think, you know, it looks quite fun to play. And if you're into it, definitely, you know, I feel like it won't let you down.
Excellent.
But we obviously did, I mean, there was two other games, or there was a few other, like, sort of little indie mobile games. We saw Brawlhalla, which to me just looks like Smash Bros.
Yeah, the thing is, they had the same animations as well.
Yeah.
For when you lock someone out of the arena, they have that kind of like, I don't know, they have that kind of like cloud of dust.
Yeah, it just felt
like when you leave the screen, you have that kind of a little explosion.
It felt very copy and pasty.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
I think it was mobile game.
Is it?
I think it's just purely on mobile. So that'll be interesting. And also,
okay, it's not as bad then, because no. I feel like it's quite interesting if you can get that kind of standard on your phone.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Also, obviously, they talked about Hype Escape, really, which we did a deep dive, I think it was a couple of podcasts ago.
Yeah, we looked more into that. I enjoyed it, it looked pretty good.
I think they showed off a cinematic trailer, which looked pretty cool, you know, very good.
It gave me very Overwatch vibes. You know,
yeah,
like
that's
Overwatch,
sort of.
You know, like the short films Overwatch had? Kind of gave me that kind of a vibe.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the whole sort of Ubisoft forward, really. Obviously, we're paraphrasing quite a lot. You know, you can definitely check it out yourself if you want to look at it in more detail.
It's out there. I mean, how long is it, the video?
I think it was about an hour.
Do you remember?
I think about an hour,
not
maybe.
Too long. You know, if you've got a spare hour, have a look at it. They have a lot of variety on there. They go into a lot of detail.
Yeah, if any of those games interest you, you know, you'll definitely
pick it up.
So, I mean, do you want to, now that's sort of out of the way, do you want to talk about the next
Well,
new
we
story?
got a tiny, short, little finisher, I suppose, to the new segment.
Yeah.
So it's basically about Xbox One and digital discontinued, essentially. A Microsoft spokesperson said in an interview with Verge, "As we ramp into the future of Xbox Series X, we're taking the natural step of stopping the production of Xbox One X and Xbox One S, or digital edition." I mean, you know, I'm not surprised. We need to pave way into the future. We can't hold back. You know, it's a very big life lesson.
I mean, I am a little bit surprised that they've done it without releasing the date of the next gen. Like, I feel like they should have done that first, but I mean
I suppose so.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, again, not surprising. I think the only thing that's surprising to me, it does seem a little bit early that they've done it.
It does, because when they did you know, Xbox 360 and Xbox One, you know, they were still producing Xbox 360s.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years after Xbox One was released.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why they're doing it so urgently.
Yeah. But again, it's not surprising.
I mean, you know, it's not so bad. You know, they're not taking down the servers or anything, or services towards the current gen.
Yeah.
So it's not forcing others to buy next gen.
Yeah. So I mean
are they planning, do you think PlayStation are doing anything similar to that?
I mean, they inevitably will, right? You know, they will do it. I'm not sure. I mean, I always assumed they'd stop doing it after the release of the next gen, but maybe they just want to get a head start on it now.
Maybe, I suppose so. I just don't know why they're discontinuing it so soon. Usually you get a bit of time to think about if you want to buy a next gen or not.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. I imagine they would do it. I mean, in talks of the next gen, this was the sort of next news story that pretty much happened like today. So you should definitely like check this out. Is a hands-on with the PlayStation 5 controller. So Jeff Keighley, I don't know if you know much about him. He's basically a very
heard the name.
Yeah, he's a very, you know, in the game industry. He's a good. He's great. He's great. You know, he knows everything. What he's
talking
about. He's presenter. I know him personally. Yeah, you know, he's a presenter of all these game shows, and I think he's doing a Summer Game Fest at the moment. I think that's what he's
okay. Yeah.
You know, leading now. But anyway, Sony gave him the first hands-on of the PlayStation 5 with a DualSense controller. Mm-hmm. And you know, he just showed what it looked like compared to the, you know, current one, and it looks amazing. He did a little demo of Astrobots, I think the game is called, which was
Astrobots.
Yeah, which was a game that is pre-installed on the PlayStation to show off what the controller can do.
Okay.
So apparently, when he was sort of playing it, there was various different sections. It's probably best if you look at it. It's about half hour sort of, you know, little video of him, you know, messing around with it and see
so
what
it's just
can
specifically
do.
About this controller.
Just showing off what the controller can do, yeah.
Okay. Well, what's your thoughts on it?
It sounds amazing. I mean, like he was saying, when you go through like an icy place, you can feel the sort of shards of ice on your hands, if that makes sense. Like you can
so
feel,
it simulates thing you're touching or
so he said you when you're walking through sand, it feels like there's sand on your hands. When you're walking through ice, it feels icy, which just sounds incredible.
Wow, that's really cool. Sounds like it would get annoying very quickly, though. I think I would get annoyed by it.
Really
cool. Like, that is proper next-gen stuff.
Incredible.
That's something that I didn't really think that could be done.
No.
But that's really cool. My only complaint about it is that if I want to play through a game and I'm constantly feeling the effects of my character, I'm just going to be like, oh, leave me. I'm the player here. Let the character deal with all this. I just want to relax.
The thing is, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think a lot of these features are going to be used anyway. I mean, there was a lot of features the PlayStation 4 controller had, and like 90% of games just didn't use it. So what was the point, you know?
That's fair. Would they talk about any games that might potentially include this?
I mean, they didn't really. It tends to be the PlayStation
what
exclusives.
What games would you expect?
It tends to be the PlayStation exclusives that do the whole sort of nine yards with the DualSense controllers.
Okay.
Like Uncharted did it. The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Ghost of Tsushima, for example. Okay. This one's done it as well. So it tends to be them. And the final thing, you sort of like, obviously, goes into a deep dive about it. But the triggers, so the aiming triggers are to an LT, the ones at the back. The amount of pressure you put on it, like it feels like, so say you're pulling back a bow, when you're putting your pressure on the finger, it feels like you're pulling back a bow, so it gets harder the further you pull it.
Oh, right.
Which is really cool, you know, and it feels like you're drawing back a bow, or if you were, you know, pulling the trigger of a gun, it'd feel like you're pulling the trigger of a gun, essentially. Which sounds really cool.
It does.
Cool.
The thing I was really confused about, I was like, when you mentioned ice, I was thinking, what, the controller turns cold?
No, it's not.
I would be like, wow, that's proper... That's the future.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. But no, it's not like that. They, you know, it's just you get the feeling of ice.
Yeah.
I guess.
Okay. Damn. I wonder. Maybe the next gen after PlayStation 5, they'll include temperature changes.
That'd be pretty cool.
On your controller.
But yeah, I mean, definitely check it out. It looks really cool. It's a good hands-on of it, and yeah, it looks really cool.
Great.
Check it. So I guess we're on to our next section then, which is what we're playing.
Is that the official title?
The official. What are we what we're sort of playing this week? You know, because it's so important that people find out.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'll go first purely because I don't really have much to say because I'm playing through Ghost of Tsushima.
Yep, and I assume no spoilers this time.
No spoilers. I feel like we're gonna go, like, I'll go into a deep dive after I finish the game. Hopefully, yeah, it'll be by next podcast. But I probably about 4 or 5 hours into it, and what I can say is it is a beautiful game. Like, it's stunning. Like, the visuals are incredible. It's one of the only games I have wanted to use photo mode in it, because it's just so gorgeous. Like, you just
there's so many opportunities with many games. They had, you know, a lot of games have kind of photo mode, but sometimes just like, I can't be bothered with this.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
And, you know,
but this one it is.
Yeah, I mean, just so from what I've played of it so far, the combat seems really fun. It's not too easy. It is quite challenging, I find. And, you know, you can do various different approaches with stealth or, you know, going in there just guns blazing if you want. And you don't get, you know, it's not like, because I know there's a lot of misconceptions at the start that people thought if you went in stealth, you're going to bring dishonor to the samurais and, you know, you're going to lose stuff. But it's not like that. I mean, obviously, they talk about it, you know, main character Jin. I mean, I'll go into a deep dive next week about the characters and everything. But, you know, he talks about that stealth is in the samurai way, and it seems really interesting. Like I said, I'm having fun playing it.
So he just takes everyone on?
Yeah. You know, I'm having fun playing it at the moment. I'll hopefully get into a deep dive next week. So I'm not.
So there's nothing you can talk about at all. There's nothing more.
I don't want to go into it. Yeah, I don't want to go.
Nothing. There's nothing. I need to hear what. Come on, there must be one thing that isn't a spoiler.
I don't want to go into it yet. I want to wait.
I mean, it does have to be story. You
know. I haven't really played enough of it to have a solid opinion on it.
I'm just trying to think. Like, are there? I don't know. Are there certain elements that you enjoy within the game? Are there like is there like a weapons kind of system? Do you collect weapons?
I barely scratched the surface with this game 4 or 5 hours in. Like, I mean, every time I pick it up, even in 10 minutes, I'll find like 100 new things, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, it's pure open world. Yeah, the map is huge, the exploration is huge, it's just a huge game. If you like open worlds, you'll love it, from what I can tell so far. You know, I don't know what to say about it at the moment, because like I said,
what about map size? Like, how big is it compared to another, you know, is it the biggest map you played on? You know?
I don't know if it's hard to say. See, I don't know if it's the biggest map I played on, but what I do find about this game, I feel like I don't want to fast travel anywhere. I feel like I want to just run around and explore. Like, you know, I feel like I want to take my time in this massive open world. I don't want to fast travel because I want to, you know, if something.
So there is an option to fast travel.
Yes, you can fast travel. But personally, I would recommend not doing it, because you will discover so much along the way, and it's just such a. It mainly goes on the ambient sounds, so, you know, like crickets and the trees, and that's main. There's hardly any music in there.
That sounds nice.
You know, you put your headphones on. You
nice
feel
and
like
peaceful.
You just yeah. You feel like you can just run through and walk through these various locations, and then get jumped by some Mongols.
I was going to say, is it peaceful? Like, can you get moments?
But obviously, it's such a beautifully looking game that, and the sounds are incredible. You feel like you can just sort of sit back and relax when you're traveling and walking through. But again, it feels like I feel like I don't want to fast travel anywhere. I just want to go through it myself and just run through it.
Yeah. I mean, do you like the characters in the game?
The main character seems pretty interesting. You know, he seems like what you'd expect a samurai to be, very driven, you know, sticks to what his sort of samurai ways are. You know, he doesn't want to dishonor his family or dishonor anyone. He's very family orientated. And he seems like a nice guy. He doesn't, you know,
seems like a nice guy.
No, you know, he seems like he wants to try and help anyone out he can. Basically, without too much spoilers, the Mongols is set when the Mongols try to invade.
So do you have what's the big baddie? Genghis Khan.
It's not Genghis Khan, but it's one of the Khans. I can't remember his first
name. A descendant.
Yeah, it's like something. A descendant. And yeah, the main baddie's pretty interesting in it. Again, I'll deep dive into that. But he seems pretty interesting. You know, he seems like a typical Mongol baddie. typical Mongol baddie.
Because they've been in so many games.
But yeah, so far, like, I am really enjoying it at the moment. Yeah. It's really good. It's really good.
Okay. I mean, do you have any allies? Or
I'll go into that next week. I'll go into that next week. Yeah,
I'm just trying to get info. Out of
I don't want
to
deep dive now and then deep dive. So I'll wait until
I'll get you next week.
Next week, you'll get me.
Okay, fine.
So what are you playing? What are you?
I was inspired by Far Cry being released, so I thought I'd take a stab at Far Cry 3 again. It's really, I'm really enjoying it. I haven't touched it for years.
Yeah.
I think the last time I played it was like, I don't know, 5 years ago, I think.
Okay.
Ages ago.
Yeah.
And the thing, it's great because I still remember all of Vaas's moments within the game. Like, that's how good he was. You know, all his quotes are so memorable and all his, you know, interactions are great. You know, and the main character you play as, Jason Brody, I think that's the name. You know, he's really interesting as well. Because you essentially start off as this really terrified young adult who just doesn't know what he's doing. And he's just terrified of his environment and what's happened to him.
Yeah.
To becoming this absolute psychopath who just kills anyone who stands in his way.
Why not?
Exactly. I mean, you played Far Cry 3, haven't you?
I played Far Cry 3. I played it back when it was out on like PlayStation 3, I think it was, when it first came out.
Well, I think it was 2012.
So, I mean, it was years ago I played it, and I loved it. I think I only played through it once, though. But I loved it. It's my personal favourite of the Far Cry games. Mm. It got me sort of going with the Far Cry games. You know, I never played 1 and 2, and it sort of, you know, got the ball rolling for me. But in terms of the new, like, because they did the remake classic one, didn't they?
They did, but that's the one I'm playing. But I'm looking between that and the original version. It's just
no different, is there?
It's not really. No, they've tweaked it slightly, but not much where you can actually really notice the changes, which is a shame. I was hoping that they'd make it a bit more refined, so more HD.
I mean, I have it downloaded, and I think I played like 10-15 minutes of it, if that. You know, I haven't replayed that much of it, so I can't, you know, really say the difference. But again, it feels like how it did back when I played it on the old generation consoles.
Well, I enjoyed it the first time I played it. It was really great. I mean, that's what got me into open world games, really. It's my favorite environment out of the Far Cry games, at least.
I
love the island, and it just looks really nice. And that's why I'm saying it's such a shame about the remastered, because if it was remastered with updated graphics, that would look fantastic.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you know, the guns are pretty good. Collectibles are interesting. I mean, you know, I enjoy the characters, the allies you have, the various villains you take on.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't used to the idea of, you know, liberating outposts. You know, to that, I wasn't used to that formula.
Yeah,
that Ubisoft have. I think that was there any? Do you remember any games prior that had that kind of layout?
Not really, if I'm honest with you.
It might be the first one, maybe.
Possibly the first one. I know Assassin's Creed started to get open worldy as well.
That's the official term,
open worldy.
Open worldy. When do you think the first Assassin's Creed game like became officially first open world? It was probably like
Flag.
Origins, right?
I think Black Flag.
You think Black
Flag
think
was pretty open worldy? Yeah. Black Flag was pretty open. Maybe Assassin's Creed 3 was pretty open worldy as well. That's the official term, open worldy.
Open worldy.
You had collectibles, and you know, you had a similar sort of layout to Far Cry. I'd probably say Assassin's Creed 3, possibly 4. Depends how you look at it.
That's fair enough.
So yeah, I mean, I like that sort of layout. I like that, they've done it really well, Ubisoft. And Far Cry.
But yeah, that's what got me into open world games. It's my favorite environment out of the Far Cries. Before then, it unlocked my mind to like venturing into other games, because I was just such a I was such a Halo fanboy, and all I played was Halo.
I mean, you can,
and
you
I
can
just
see,
didn't bother playing anything else. And I touched it, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
You can see that they have pretty much built 4 and 5 on the engine of 3. You know, it feels
very similar.
You
they've changed hardly anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, to the formula.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Far Cry 4 is essentially just a rehash of 3, just in a different area.
Better graphics.
And the graphics updated, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, that was probably what I was hoping for with the Far Cry 3 kind of remaster, in the sense. Because that's essentially what Far Cry 4 is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I loved it, personally. It was a great game.
I mean, do you remember any other characters within Far Cry 3?
I remember the tribal woman.
Oh, what's her name?
Don't know her name.
Citra.
I remember her.
Yeah.
Was there like a doctor on top of like a hill? He had like a magic mushroom farm? Or am I just going crazy?
Dr. Earnhardt.
That's the one. I knew I wasn't going crazy. I was like,
he just lives in a house on top of a hill.
Yeah. And I remember that weird, wacky mission where you just take magic mushrooms by accident and just go on a random.
That was very trippy.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. That's probably one of my favourite missions.
And I remember that Vaas isn't actually the main bad guy.
He's not the main bad guy within. No. I've forgotten the main guy, but there's like an overseer.
Who cares
like
about
the
him?
Main.
Nobody
exactly.
Cares.
He wasn't the main.
Nobody cares.
He wasn't
about
the
him.
Guy on the box.
Yeah, exactly. Art, you know? Who cares about him? He didn't tell me what the definition of insanity was. He wasn't helping
exactly.
my education,
was
he?
Jeez. He didn't help me at all.
Yeah.
I don't really remember him that much. I haven't got as far into the game where I interact with him as much, because he owns the other part of the island and it's a bit more heavily fortified, I think.
Yeah.
But I think he was kind of interesting when I remembered him playing against him years ago. But, you know, Vaas, you know, is just superior in every way, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. You know, I also enjoyed the idea of, you know, hunting and crafting for, you know, better weapons and better bags to hold, you know, money and loot and syringes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah. So
it was just a different kind of gameplay.
It was good
to what I was used to. So it was nice, and yeah, I've enjoyed Far Cry 3.
That's good.
Oh, Chris, you haven't given your Game Junkies review.
I can't yet. I can't.
You can't.
I told you we got to do this when I finish the game.
Damn.
What's your Game Junkies review of Far Cry 3?
I mean, I think I'd give it a solid 9.
Ooh,
I think. I know, right? Up
is
there.
Really high. It was not expected.
That is high for the Game Junkies rating.
Ooh, that is very
high.
We
have very high standards.
Wow.
Obviously.
That is very high.
So 9 out of 10 for the official Game Junkies rating.
So
Far Cry 3.
Are you ready for the main event of this podcast?
This is the main event. That's the only reason why I show up.
Guess the game from quotes, I guess, is the title of it.
We
don't
not
really have
calling
a,
it that.
We don't
guess
have a title for it.
Quotes.
Well, how else would you call it? It is what it is.
I don't know. I just call
it
Trivia Round.
Trivia Round. So, are you ready?
No.
Yes. Okay. So,
not at all.
You want to try and beat... How many... You want to try and get all of them?
Well, you got 4.
Okay. Okay.
Hour 5. Last episode. So, we'll see how I do.
I'm going to start off easy for you, and kind of relevant to what we've been talking about today. Did I ever tell you the definition of insanity?
Hold on, Chris! I wonder where that is from.
Yeah, think about that.
Let
think
me
about
think. That. Was that Far Cry 3 by any chance?
It was, but who says it? Because I don't think you'll get this. You sure? You sure?
Yeah.
100%.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, and you'll be a bit embarrassed by this.
Go
that
on.
Was the quote. That was the quote I gave you last episode.
Was it? Oh, that's probably. Oh, okay.
Chris.
That's yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm slacking. I'm losing it. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
5 episodes. That's
right. I'm giving
you
hard one for that. I'm giving you hard one for that. Now.
Well, I get one. That's fine.
Do you know what's funny? Even after everything you've done, I would have saved you.
Do you know what's funny? I don't think I've done. Ooh, that is isn't that one of the Batman games?
Yeah, which one?
Arkham Asylum?
No.
Is that even a game?
Yes. Yes, that's the first one.
Yeah. No, which one is it from then?
Second one. He says it to the Joker as the Joker's dying. Spoilers.
Yeah, I knew it was. Well, I knew spoilers what afterwards. The scenario was. What's it called?
What's what called? Sorry. Oh, Arkham City. I love okay. that one. So you get half a point.
Yeah, I'm fine with half a point.
Half a point. Great. Okay. Finish him.
Oh, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, who says it?
Isn't it just like the announcer?
No. Yeah. Actually, yeah.
I don't think the character himself says finish him as he kills the guy. I swear it was like the announcer or like commentator of the match.
Fair enough. That's 2.5.
Hey, go. I'm halfway.
Okay. The cake is a lie.
Oh, Portal.
Yeah. Do you know the sort of situation? Well, not situation. Do you know?
Do I need to know the person who said it?
Character has said it? I mean, you don't need to.
I got the game right, so I got a full point.
I mean, sure.
I forgot the characters within the game.
I think it's GLaDOS. GLaDOS, yeah. But it's spelled like G, capital A, and it's like A.
Oh, is it? You know?
Yeah, it's like very a weird kind of one. Okay, so 3.5.
I got 3.5 out of 5.
Okay. Now, this one, I feel like you should get it.
I should get it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, if I get this, I'll be higher than you. Oh, okay.
If you don't get it, I'm ready. Okay.
I'm ready.
This is the last one. Okay. By the time I learnt the demon's intent, there was nothing I could do.
Oh, I recognise it. Oh. I'm not going to ask for a hint, because I think I know where it's from. I'm just trying to reimagine the scenario. Can you say it again?
Just close my phone, thanks a lot.
Oh, brilliant.
By the time I learnt the demon's intent, there was nothing I could do.
Oh, Halo 2?
Yeah, it took you longer than I expected you to get it.
I know, what's going on? I thought I was meant to be the Halo nerd here. What's going on?
Who says it? Who says it?
Well, Arbiter.
Yeah, OG.
Because it's the OG Arbiter. One of the best characters.
You got 4.5 out.
I got 4.5 out of 5.
Even though I gave you a quote, which you gave me, so that's
that was your bad there. I think that's an automatic
so
point for me
to
personally.
Keep up with it all.
Hey, I got it right anyway before announcing that you screwed it up. So
yeah,
that's good.
So congratulations, 4.5. I think successful.
That's the highest score yet on the trivia round on the Game Junkies podcast.
I think I went easy on you this time, though. I feel like next time I'm going to go.
I don't know. Difficult. I don't know. You said one of them was going to be a really hard one. I got half marks for it. So that's underestimating my gaming knowledge, Chris.
Yeah, maybe. So I guess that wraps up the podcast. So
brilliant.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, everyone. We have a Patreon page. So if you'd like to support us and what we do, it'd be greatly appreciated. Check us out on Patreon.com/GameJunkies to find out more information. You can also follow us on Twitter, Game Junkies OG, to all the latest updates. Anything to add, Jack, or is that?
I'm hoping for a more interesting week next week.
Yeah. Considering Xbox is in like 3 days, right?
So. Oh, I am so hyped for that.
It's going to be exciting.
Oh, God, I can't fathom. So. I just can't wait. A few days, I can see Halo Infinite gameplay, finally.
So next one's going to be a big one, guys. Uh-huh. So see you next week. Have a good one.
See ya.